Oh, I'm already disagreeing with this Wikipedia article.
Does it say, like, pinball is a fun game people enjoy? Oh boy, it's Encyclopedia Brunch. My name is Tim Dobbs, and with me, as ever, through the internet, it's Catherine Kogert.
Hey, it's so great to be here in the internet.
Yeah. You feeling that buzz? You feeling all those packets moving around? It's good for the skin.
Oh, it's a little gross.
No, it's like abrasive. It's like
an exfoliation.
Yeah. It, when you get those fish that nip at your foot skin. That's a thing.
Oh,
right?
where do you do that?
I don't have a place. I don't have a guy. I don't know. I'm looking.
You don't
go
have
on Yelp.
A fish nibbler?
You know, the problem is
fish nibbler.
I can't bring myself to do a Yelp search on that.
I can, but not on the show because I am what you call in the biz a professional.
What professionals call professional. And just like any professional, will immediately mm-hmm. begin talking about our topic this week. Pinball.
Hey, I have a question. Darn it.
Gotcha. Pinball. Talking about pinball this week.
Pinball.
Slipping
pinball,
it in.
Pinball.
Getting that extra score. Catherine, when was the last time you played pinball?
Oh, it wasn't satisfying. I'll tell you that much.
Didn't give you a charge?
I'm going to say 8 or 9 years ago.
Okay. Yeah, when you were in like Soho or Brighton.
Yeah. And yourself, when did you last play pinball?
I last played pinball last night when I thought to myself,
last night, you say?
Pinball's weird. We should maybe do a show on it.
Did you enjoy it?
Yeah, I had fun. The trick I find with pinball is that it's just hard to figure out what's going on. And when I start to get a basic idea of like, what was the point here? Then it gets kind of fun. But before that, it's just a lot of lights. I don't know. It's kind of cool.
It's very arbitrary to me.
Mm, it's pretty arbitrary. I mean, so that's what I've gotten a sense of by reading about sort of the history of pinball, which is that it sort of seems to come out of these like, I don't know, bourgeoisie, like 1600s games. Like you might play at the French court, croquet, billiards, bocce.
Okay. Billiards, bocce, but then you're an indoor kid, so then we have pinball.
Well, sometimes it rains, you know.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, and so it sounds like it kind of turned more into a parlor game, or they made a parlor game version during the reign of Louis the 14th. Ooh, the Sun King. That involved, let's see, there'd be wooden pins or skittles at one end of the table, and players would shoot balls with a stick or cue from the other end in a game inspired as much by bowling as billiards.
You ever play skittles?
No, what? I mean, I've had the candy. Is that the same? Is playing skittles code for eating candy?
Skittles is kind of like pinball, but with a spinning top, sort of.
Pinball, but with a spinning top. What?
You wrap like a string around a top. And then you pull it, and then it knocks down pins in this.
Oh, okay. Like, it's sort of like bowling instead, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, because it's spinning, because it goes like, woo, 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 and you don't know what directions it's going to go. But like with bowling, you could kind of say that there's some skill involved.
Right. Okay, so it's not exactly like bowling. Fair. I can give you that.
Yeah. And the pins are kind of like all around the arena. They're not all at the other end of an aisle or
Got
alley,
it.
Let's say. That's what you call them.
A lane?
Lane?
Bowling lane? Yeah, I think they're lanes, right?
You don't call them bowling aisles?
Bowling straightaways.
Bowling throughways.
Here on the bowling boulevard, I bowl a lonely road. The only game that I've ever known.
That's what the song was originally about, but they decided it was a little bit unrelatable.
Yeah, it's all about those independent bowlers. Mm-hmm. Oh, I lost my bowling team.
That's what Big Lebowski's about.
Yeah, I guess it really is. That is, you could call that Boulevard of Broken Bowls or Boulevard of Broken Dreams. The Big Lebowski story.
Yeah.
I think they made a better choice with what they named it.
Yeah.
All right.
But yeah, so it's part of one of these like kind of semi-arbitrary like arena games, tabletop arenas.
Yeah, I think so. I think so in reading about all these things, it kind of starts from like something that seems fairly, we sort of talked about this a little bit with baseball, where it kind of starts with like, I don't know, I got a ball, you got a stick, all right, let's see what we can do. And it's something sort of similar. They've got some pins, they're going to try to knock them over.
Hope that's okay.
I don't know, we can make something go with this too. We can do anything. it's the 1600s, like there's not a lot of entertainment. So then eventually they, instead of trying to knock down the pins, they fix the pins to the table and then try to like find ways to bounce off the pins to get into holes. And then eventually it becomes like, oh, instead of using a cue or something, we can use a spring launcher. And then it becomes, well, all right, this is like a game now. We can like put this somewhere and charge money to like, you know, hey, put a penny and get, you know, five shots at this thing. And then it becomes very like pachinko plinko kind of a thing.
Yeah.
And at this point we're calling those little posts pins, and hence it is pinball. And eventually we add in the little flippers.
Basketball is a game where you put a ball in a basket,
in a peach basket.
Or like how football is all about kicking the ball and just kicking it with your foot and not doing anything else with it.
Yeah, there's no other thing that happens in football.
Yeah, you just touch it with your feet.
Well, so that's actually, it's a common misconception because, of course, in the rest of the world, what we call soccer is football because it's their feet. It's the same thing. It's one of those strange quirks of American English in that the foot is the American word for the body. And so it really is like...
My experience with speaking American English, though.
Well, you're from the Pacific Northwest. I mean, you're practically Canadian.
I see. Oh, we're very different over here. Yes. Yeah. It's all Justin Trudeau and maple syrup.
Yep. Not talking about foot as body like the rest of us. You know, when they talk about a foot fetish, that's not weird. That's pretty mainstream.
It's just a body fetish.
It just means you like other people's bodies.
I require a body to reach climax.
Pretty standard, yeah. Anyway, I'm glad I've set you straight on this one. This common misusage you've been doing.
I really feel like I've grown as a person. Thank you.
So did I mention that they add flippers eventually, and that's what changes it from being like a pretty dumb game to only a kind of dumb game?
Okay, still pretty dumb. I'm going to say from extremely dumb to pretty dumb.
So, but at least you can, like, affect the game, because otherwise all it is just, like, how strong was the shooting of the ball?
Right, right. There are multiple points. Yeah, it's can you keep the game going? Can you keep... It's kind of the hot potato of ball arenas.
Yeah, it's like if your hands were flippers and you were, like, knocking the hands around. Keep juggling. Which I guess is like one of the techniques. So I was reading about like, all right, how do you be good at this? Because what's always frustrated me about pinball is that like for a long time, it felt very much to me like, I don't know. It's like, it didn't feel so different from having flippers or not having flippers. It was like, well, I don't know. It shoots and then you get lucky or you don't, or you hit some weird flashing light and now it's all over. And so I was reading about like play techniques. And one of the big ones is like having some touch on the flippers such that like you can juggle the ball so that like if you want to hit it from the left flipper.
Yeah, it's all coming back to me now. Well, now let me tell you, I've actually played a lot of pinball.
I'm gonna guess on a computer.
Yep. Microsoft, I'm gonna say 98,
the space one.
Maybe 2000ME even.
I think it was 2000ME. yeah.
Yeah, had yeah, the space one. Mm-hmm. With all the sound effects.
Yeah,
I played a lot of that one, and I got pretty good at juggling the ball.
Right. And I would bet that, okay, so I'll look over, we'll talk about techniques here. They talk about you juggle the ball, and then you figure out your angles. So if you want to hit a certain spot on the board, you figure out where on the flipper the ball needs to be. And then the last thing they talk about is trapping. So, like, if you just need to hold the ball in place for a second, then you can sort of, like, reset what the ball's doing. So you can, like, hold the flipper up, and then the ball kind of sits in the pocket, and then you can let it go, and now you have more control. You can either bop it slightly over to the other one.
Basically. Right.
Mm-hmm, exactly. So I bet you got pretty good at all those, right?
Yeah, I was a real pro.
Here's my question. Did you ever nudge the machine, though?
You can't nudge the computer.
Yes, but I also played this game. It does include a nudging function, because...
So I think I never figured out what it was, because, mm-hmm. like, I sometimes it would just tilt on me, and I would be like, I guess that's just a random fail, because this game is stupid and arbitrary.
It could have been, yeah.
So what was the nudging function?
Well, I mean, so the nudging function is a holdover from, like, physical machines, wherein... The only weapons that are given to you, the player, against this dastardly machine are the flippers, what you can do with the flippers, like juggling and trapping and so on. And, yeah, you can kind of give the machine a little nudge. And that's like, if the ball is about to go in somewhere, but it's not quite going to make it, you can kind of like change the physical environment. However, you could theoretically just lift up the whole ball and machine and make sure that the ball never drained. And so that's
a very violent nudge, though.
I know. Well, I mean, so that's the trick of it, right? So that would give you a tilt. Are you familiar with what a tilt is?
Yeah, like you lose the ball.
I mean, do you know why it's called a tilt, though?
Why? Because you tilted the machine?
Yeah. So it would be bad, right? So the whole thing's a big ramp, right? And the ball just drains down to the bottom. It would be bad if you were to lift it up enough so that it was no longer a ramp and it was just flat, because then you could just play
or
forever.
Ramp the other direction.
Yeah, exactly. And then you're just bouncing off those things at the top. And so a tilt is a special detector that's put into most of these machines to make sure you don't do that. And there's a bunch of different ways to do it, but the one I kind of liked is they have a grounded plumb bob centered in an electrified metal ring. And so there's something with a potential on it, like a metal ring, and then there's a little thing hanging in the middle of it, and that connects to ground. And so then if that ball were to hit the edge of the ring, it would drain all the electricity and thus complete a circuit, which would then, the way it's wired, cause all the flippers to no longer be responsive. And then the ball just hits the bottom when it hits it. So what that's meant to do is to keep you from tilting too much, but you do have a little leeway there, because this plumb bob is in the center of a ring, but it's not like, you know, I don't know, it's not a game of Operation where it's like, oh, no, you just touched it, it's all over.
Right, yeah.
There's like, and what I thought was kind of cool is that a lot of times this ring would actually be a cone, and so the distance that you set the plumb bob hanging down, like if it was hanging at the base of the cone, it could actually move quite a bit before it hit the edge. But if it was at the top of the cone... Yeah, so there's like varying degrees to which you're allowed to tilt this machine, which I don't know. That's
a little bit more clever than I gave pinball creators credit for.
Right. Well, I mean, and then in the game too, I was like, this is dumb, this whole nudge function. I don't even get what it's for. I'm supposed to be able to do it all with just flippers. But like, that never felt like quite enough control. So the nudge is like kind of the third
that's
hand.
Heat.
Yeah. But that's also why you could get a tilt. But I have no idea how they decided if you were tilting too much in the software.
It was, I mean, I felt like it was very arbitrary, obviously, because it would just tilt on me for seemingly no reason.
Yeah, probably. That's probably what was going on. Did you ever, like, get into the story of the space one? Like,
there was a plot?
I think so. I don't remember. But a thing that is very common in modern pinball machines is like there's a thing to do. So right, so like the deal with pinball is it's a high score game, right? It's born out of these like kind of arcadey machines that are just like, you know, a distraction, a little pastime to like what's the word I want? Not an amusement. Oh, we have a lot of words for this sort of thing. It's just a way to kill time, basically, while you're drinking in a bar or like while you're a young punk who's you know, in a CD arcade somewhere. And so it's all about just getting a higher score. But modern machines have like added layers of complexity to that. So it's a little more like the original Super Mario Brothers, where like, yes, there is a score, but also there's a thing to finish. For instance, the one I played last night was Game of Thrones themed, and... Ooh. There was a way in which you had to, you selected which house you were a part of at the beginning of the game, and then
really?
You had to defeat all the other houses. And so,
you defeat houses by hitting them with a metal ball.
Well, so what happened was you would, pinball's very confusing, but I think what was happening was you'd go into like a special ramp or something, and then that would say, oh, you've triggered a battle with, you know, House Lannister. And then it's like, do you want to, you know, do this battle? And then I'd hit like, yes, because I don't know how this game works. And then it would give me a new ball. And then I had to like shoot into like five ramps in a row and then one final thing. And then it would have said like, finish the battle. But then I kept losing.
What house did you pick?
I think I was house, oh, it begins with a B, Bangalore,
Baratheon.
Baratheon, yeah, they have like a stag. I don't know, stag. I don't really watch Game of Thrones.
Yeah, don't worry, I'm here for you and the listener.
Yeah, everybody, you're taking care of everybody. But yeah, so that was, I mean...
The king is the first book.
Who's the king?
The Baratheon.
Oh, really?
They've won the Game of Thrones at the start of the first.
I see. But then it doesn't go so great for them, I guess.
Oh, yeah. He super dies. Huh. Well, I mean, everybody dies, though.
Yeah.
Spoilers for Game of Thrones, everybody.
Can we take a quick side moment here to talk about how spoilers started being a thing you said after it? What's wrong with us? Like, as a culture, we just can't keep it together. We're just like,
I don't know.
The concept of spoilers hasn't even been around that long, and we already just ruined it to mean the opposite, and it's so useless. Like... Why do we even have it? It's just mean now. Like, I'm not even a guy for whom spoilers are a big deal, because I just don't follow a lot of, like, serialized stories.
Yeah, you're looking to be spoiled, mostly.
Yeah, like, mostly I'd like to be, all right, let's just get to the end and tell me what happened. But, like, this is so much more useful for me now, because someone will tell me something, and they'll be like, by the way, that was an important thing that might come up later in a conversation with someone else who expects you to have seen Game of Thrones.
Right, and you're like, oh, good, noted.
Yeah. But I just, like, we ruined the concept of spoilers so quickly. I don't know, like, was anyone ever really into it? Maybe we just hated it in the first place. Maybe we always were begrudging about spoilers.
It's a little bit, it's a little frustrating because it restricts your speech. And I mean, I don't know, the thing about people in the U.S. is that we were really big on, like, being able to speak our mind.
Yeah, we really want to ruin entertainment for others. It's important to us. It affects my enjoyment.
Freedom of speech, man.
Just everything. We're just the worst.
Yeah.
Oh, man. All right. I don't know. On that note, I'm just going to grouse for a while. We'll be back in a moment. Encyclopedia Brunch. Back on Encyclopedia Brunch, talking about pinball, the silver ball game.
Oh, the silver ball game!
Yeah, you know that one. Oh, like that's any less descriptive than pinball.
Well, at least with pinball, I know that there's pins involved.
There's not a lot of times. There used to be.
Often not. It's a little frustrating. I find pinball to be a deeply arbitrary and frustrating game because, like, the different things you can hit are worth different amounts of points. But there's no way for you to know what's going in. Nothing is labeled.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I think I started to say this earlier, but like, I think like baseball, it's a game that evolved out of like, I don't know, we're screwing around with stuff. And like baseball, it becomes this like super arbitrary. And this is very common of like bar style games too, where it's like just rules sort of just like come up while people are making stuff. And then it doesn't follow like a cohesive, like you would never design a game this way. But once it's already like a system, then it's like, well, okay, let's just see how to beat this arbitrary system we made.
So I think the interesting thing about pinball, though, is it does straddle, you say it's a bar game, but it does straddle the line between a bar game and an arcade game.
Well, I mean, I think arcades have a history of being a lot like bars.
But for children, like there are whole arcades that are like, oh, well, you can't just be an adult here because that's creepy. You have to be accompanying a child.
Yeah,
because this is a place for children.
Do you have a strong sense of like when that happened? Because like the very historical arcade was like much more along the lines of like a den of ill repute. And then, at some point it totally became, I suspect it was the suburban 80s that did this to us. This feels very E.T. and I don't know why. But do you have any idea of like when we had the modern conceptualization?
Gosh, no, I don't. I'm not a scholar on this topic at all, so I don't know.
See our future episode on arcades.
That'll be a good one. I'm looking forward to that one. You know what I really liked about that one? How halfway through, we completely changed the format of the show. That's what I love about that one.
Yes, look forward to that, listeners.
We realize that what we really want to do is make a cooking show because we keep making episodes about food.
Mm-hmm. Food's interesting.
Food is really interesting, and I spend a lot of time thinking about it, apparently.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, but like, I think it comes out of, I mean, if I were to guess, it comes out of this shift in dogma between like children should be seen and not heard and like, let's keep the kids busy somehow.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. Yeah, I could see it. Keeping the kids busy somehow instead of like putting them to work.
Yeah. Well, child labor is illegal and you're still annoying.
And I guess games were becoming, I don't know, again, see your future episode on arcades, but like, you know, one thing I also associate with the time period that I associate with arcades is the onset of like purely electronic games. And something that is unique about pinball is that it is a hybrid game. It is a game that started purely mechanically and then has evolved to a point where it has a lot of electronic elements, but it is very mechanical. Like everything in there must be physical some way.
Right.
Which is why I suspect that the software versions were like never quite as satisfying, is because it's just like, yeah, it's a board game or a video game. As opposed to like something that happened to me last night in this Game of Thrones game, is that like I shot a thing, a ball up into a ramp, it got caught in a metal like skyway, and then that looped around and then it like fell into a hole and a pin caught it. A pin, like a solenoid, changed and a pin went up into place and held this ball in place, and it said ball locked, you'll get this ball back like after you get two more ball locks, and then they'll all come in onto the field at once for a multi-ball, which is the most exciting time of any pinball game, I find. But like also the physicality of that is interesting. Like multi-ball is of course exciting, but the physicality of like we're storing these balls, you can see them, and then all these solenoids will change later to release these balls, that's like, that's cool.
I don't know though, but there were multi-balls in Windows ME pinball, space pinball.
Yeah, also good. I just like, I think it was cool just like having the like, and it was very like Mousetrap, you know? Like the, like, ooh, a bunch of stuff is happening.
Mousetrap is not a fun game.
You know what? I wouldn't know because I'm not sure I've ever played a full game of it.
I think I've played half a game of it, was like, this is not fun.
It's a lot of setup.
A lot of setup.
I
mean, the game is the setting up of the Mousetrap.
Yeah, that's true.
That's
No, so you think you're not at all interested in the physical aspects? I think it's kind of fun. How about this one? Let me give you another one. Because the ball is metal. Nope, I'm giving it to you. Because the ball is metal, some modern games control the speed and movement of the ball with a magnet underneath the board. And so like in certain cases it can like lock the ball in place or like grab the ball and slowly drag it elsewhere. That's kind of fun, right?
Oh, yeah. It's kind of like an unseen hand.
True. I mean, yeah, just like in my favorite pinball game, Macroeconomics, the pinball game. Oh, the invisible hand of the market grabbed your ball. Oh, no, it's dragging it down to nothing.
Just because you like economics-themed pinball.
I think I would enjoy that. So, like, what I found is that, like, the stuff I get into is, yeah, like, okay, so I'm supposed to beat all these other houses. Or one of my favorite ones that I think I had on Windows 98. I don't think it was a pack-in. I don't know how I got it, but it was called Crystal Caliburn. That's right. Not Caliber. Caliburn.
Because it's a pun.
Is it? Is that? I don't know. It was about
it's
Excalibur.
It sounds like another thing, but it's actually another thing.
I guess. But there was no fire. I don't know.
Oh, there was no fire?
No, yeah. It was about Excalibur. Like you...
Oh, excuse me. I assumed that because burn was in the title, there would be some sort of heat or fire involved.
You know, that's really understandable, actually. Hard to say what happened exactly. But,
or at least frostbite, because that's a form of burn.
Yeah, and the crystal part, like that would kind of make sense. But no,
yeah.
It was about swords.
Or even a chemical burn.
Oh yeah, like all right, well we have to talk about Sonic Spinball in a minute, but I want to finish talking about Crystal Caliburn. In Crystal Caliburn, you were supposed to earn like each of the 12 Knights of the Round Table and then you could get the sword, and it was all about me getting that sword. Like that's what I cared about.
That good sword.
Yeah. And so I find I'm this way with board games as well. Like theming is very important to me because I like having like a goal and a thing to do, and I like getting emotionally involved, even if
it's important to set goals.
Yeah. I've been reading a lot of self-help via pinball books, and they say set goals, get multi-balls, but don't try to juggle too much at once.
No, don't juggle too much, and for God's sake, don't nudge too much.
Oh, yeah. No, you don't force it, is essentially. Incidentally, a multi-ball strategy you can use is to cradle one or two balls with one of the flippers while you use the other flipper to keep scoring with the other ball. That way you just have a bunch of balls. Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't spread yourself too thin. Pinball, words to live by. But yeah, so I mean, I find the theming like the thing I really enjoy, because it's hard to get into like the score. And like, even though I think the two things for me is it's like I need to get involved like emotionally in some story, and then also like I can game the like actual like what are the techniques required. So it's like okay for me if the actual game is super arbitrary like pinball is. Like, I was not looking for the sword. I'm not going to space. I'm not going to try to beat John Maynard Keynes in an epic one-on-one battle via Macroeconomics, the pinball game.
Uh-huh.
But, like, I don't know. It's nice to be able to, like, oh, here are my goals, and here are the things they need to do to get those goals. And those things are, like, learning how to, like, juggle balls and stuff.
Well, I think that's what's really frustrating to me about pinball. I think I really need the story.
Hmm.
You know what it is? It's not like if it was themeless, then I think I'd be okay with it. But of course, it wouldn't be as like fun and shiny and polished. But like the fact that there's a theme to it and it doesn't like build a cohesive story, I find that frustrating.
Right. But there's more for you to fill in there. I mean, I don't know. What do you think about so you and I both play a very time killing phone game called Picross.
Are we going to talk about Picross right now?
Yeah.
Picross Luna?
So Picross Luna is the themed version of it, right? And it's this horribly translated, very strange game that has a story vaguely related to... how would you describe the story?
I've learned a lot about the story since playing the game. I've gotten pretty far in this Picross Luna game. So there's a knight... And he's been cursed by a wicked magician who the knight is absolutely going to dunk on if he ever gets the opportunity.
Very
as
well
says,
translated.
Says,
yeah.
I'll dunk on the wicked magician who made me this.
Mm-hmm.
I love this game so much. So there's this princess that the knight serves, and then the kingdom gets attacked by this wicked magician. And then the wicked magician brings all these bad guy monsters and then turns the knight into a monster.
Oh,
and
no.
Then he keeps the princess on the moon.
On the moon. Okay. So then, if you will, can you describe the way this game is played?
Yeah. So it's like cross-stitching.
Okay. I don't have that reference, but I guess I could see it. To me, it's kind of like it's like a version of Sudoku. It's different, but... It's like a logic game.
It is. It's like cross-stitch meets Sudoku. Mm. Yeah. So you know in every... It's like a grid. And then you know in every column and in every row how many... So there's like two in a row, then a blank one, and then three in a row. You'll see two and three. But then the row is like 10 wide. And so you're like, well, I don't know where the two and three is. But then you have rows and columns that say this, and you have to complete it based off of that. I don't know.
Yeah.
But do better.
Exactly. No. That's exactly it. Those two things are 0% related, right?
Oh, yeah. No.
Yeah.
But there's a story, at least.
I know.
A semi-cohesive story, and I made a cactus monster.
So I guess that's the other missing piece of the description of how the game is played, is like what those patterns that are on the sides are describing is a like sort of weird 8-bit picture. Like,
yeah.
it's a highly pixelated picture, and then when you fill it in, it goes, oh, look, it's a cactus monster. And you go, oh, I guess.
And you're like, I guess so.
close enough.
Maybe now that you have the shading on it, but like, even so.
So I think pinball has a lot in common with that. The difference is we're not given a lot of information. Like, when you just show up at an arcade and you, like, put some change in, you don't necessarily get all that information right in front of you. But, like, yeah. I think it's quite common... are quite similar in that you have this very arbitrary skill set and game, which is all about like, oh yeah, I'm gonna like try to, you know, hit flippers and have it bounce on things and score points. And then there's also usually some sort of story or heavy theming built in. But it's just like we're not told that very often, and you have to like read about it on the side.
Yeah. And it's not like, no more of it is really revealed to you as you play.
Well, because it can't be.
Yeah, because you're just hitting things with the ball.
Well, and also,
and
like,
even then, a lot of the time, it doesn't really matter. Like, you hit the ball once, and then, like, 30, 40, 50 seconds later, it comes back, and you're like, I hit it again! I find that very frustrating.
I kind of like it when I get it, like, stuck up in one of those bouncy, like, cavities or something, and it's just going, and you're like, well, nothing to do.
Yeah, and you're like, cool, cool. But that's not a game at that point. That's viewership.
True. But, like, sometimes it's nice to just view.
I mean, yeah. I love TV.
Yeah, fair. All right, well, I don't know. I'm just all about racking up those points. Let's talk a little more about scoring, high scores in pinball when we come back in a moment. Encyclopedia Brunch. And we're back on Encyclopedia Brunch talking about pinball, racking up the scores. What's the highest score you've ever gotten on pinball?
I think it was 20 million.
I can't believe you...
It was either 10 million or 20 million.
I can't believe you even know. Because it's super arbitrary, right?
Yeah. But, oh man, I played a lot of that Windows Me pinball.
Oh, that's good. At least you have that. So reading a little about pinball scores...
Being an only child!
Hey, I played a lot of that, too. I was just a younger child. Whose older sister wanted nothing to do with him at a certain point. Yeah. People not wanting anything to do with you. Go play pinball. Just go to the arcade. Here's the thing about pinball scoring is, of course it's different from table to table because they're all different. And they often differ by, like, orders of magnitude. It's generally considered, so they used to do it up by, they would have little lights that lit up to say, like, oh, you've gotten to 1,000, you've gotten to 10,000, you know, whatever. And then eventually they got one of those ratcheting wheels, like an odometer. Mm-hmm. And it was pretty, like, it made sense. Like, whenever the ball hit something that would score, that would complete a circuit, and then it would, like, cause a little electrical pulse to cause that odometer to ratchet forward a little bit. So it's just like, you score a lot by hitting stuff. But then they moved on to, you know, the semiconductors and, like, calculating it and dot matrix screens. But they thought it would be best to just, like, yeah, let's just keep the numbers, like, high and even. So you generally score in, like, the tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, and so to the point where it's meaningless, sometimes millions. One thing I did like is... So a couple of them go overboard, including, let's see, at the peak of the billion point trend, two machines, Johnny Mnemonic and Attack from Mars, were played into the trillions, which is at a certain point, it's like, how many zeros are we? What? Like, you're
yeah, not... what is that one?
And then I like the reverse of that. In 1997, someone released a game called NBA Fast Break, which scored like basketball. And so you can only get like 2 points at a time. So if you got like 100 points, it'd be pretty good.
That's pretty good. Yeah, that's pretty good.
But yeah, I don't know. It just like it doesn't matter and it's arbitrary and the numbers are so big.
They're just so big, the numbers.
Too big. This is why I'm just like I'm all about that theme. I just got to get to, you know, get the 12 whatever. Or in the case of Sonic Spinball. Yeah. I told you I'd get back to it.
Tell the folks at home everything about Sonic Spinball. I obviously know exactly what you're talking about, but like for them, so that they understand.
Sure. For the benefit of the folks at home and not for anyone on the podcast.
No, because I know what you're talking about.
Sonic Spinball was a game that is roughly what you're thinking. They said, well, Sonic bounces around like a pinball. Why don't we just put him in a pinball machine? And so the game was basically virtual pinball, except that your ball was Sonic, and he mostly bounced around in his, like, you know, spinning formation like he does. But then every once in a while he would land somewhere, and then you would just suddenly have control of Sonic, and he would, like, run to some other spot. What I mostly remember about this game, though, is that true to Sega's approach to Sonic, they found ways to make people feel incredibly tense while playing their stupid game. Like, did you ever play Sonic? Did you ever play Sonic at all?
A little bit.
You know how he can't breathe underwater, and like if you've been underwater too long, it starts playing like the Jaws theme, basically.
Yeah, yeah.
And counting down from 10, and you're like, you're going to kill him. You're drowning a hedgehog. So there was something very similar.
Hedgehogs are kind of jerks, first of all.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, I had a pet hedgehog.
Yeah. See,
I'm sure I've told you.
See our episode on pet hedgehogs, I think.
Yeah.
Or just hedgehogs.
We've also done an episode on high scores, so we're really building out a mythos.
Yeah, that's true. This is all going into one big suite about something. This is all working towards Sonic Spinball. So the thing about the first level in Sonic Spinball is that if you fell through the drain, which is what you call that spot between the flippers, then you would land on a little platform, and there was like this crazy toxic goo underneath and some kind of like horrifying mechanical dragon beast down there that would eat you. But you would land on the thing, and if you like... There were ways to escape it, so you might be able to like have him jump back out, but then like the thing would just like jump up and try to get you, and it would play the most tense music for like any moment you were down there. It was so scary. And I don't think I ever beat it, but now that I'm talking about it, I think I really want to.
I think it's time. I think it's time to reopen that door.
Yeah. Do you find when you go back to play old video games that you once struggled with as a child that you're just much better at them?
No, I always find that they're much harder.
Interesting.
Yeah. I mean, we recently played through Diddy Kong Racing.
That's right.
Over several months.
Yeah.
Because we don't live in the same city. So when we would get together, we would say, all right, let's log a few hours in the old DKR.
I know we're good friends. We haven't seen you in a while, but we have to beat WizPig.
And we did. We finally did. It was a big night. And... So, like, I found that I was much worse at it than I used to be. You had no problem, though. You were great at it.
I felt like you acquitted yourself fairly well. I also think I was great at it.
You were great. You were great. Like, we beat that game in, like, what was it, maybe 10 or between 10 and 20 hours total.
Not a long time. Yeah, and I recall putting so much of my childhood into that game, so... But yeah, so I think I would maybe be able to handle Sonic Spinball again. But like first, I'm kind of thinking like maybe I just want to get into pinball because Sonic Spinball, okay, maybe I have less emotional fear. But with pinball, maybe the difference now this time will be that I can read more and understand more. Supposedly, there's supposed to be a placard on every machine that explains roughly like what the goal is. But then also like here are some like lanes you'll want to shoot into. Like here are ways to score high.
I'm listening now. All right.
So I'm going to start looking for this. I have never seen it, and I think Wikipedia is lying to me. But I like the idea a lot. And also, in this new smartphone age, I don't see why we couldn't just look it up. You know, when we see the Ghostbusters.
Adam Family Pinball. Yeah, Ghostbusters Pinball. Star Trek Next Gen Pinball.
Mm-hmm. Simpsons Pinball. Lord of the Rings Pinball.
Lauder Pinball, absolutely.
Lauder. I thought it was like lottery.
Encyclopedia Brunch Pinball.
Okay, so in the Encyclopedia Brunch Pinball, what's some theming here? Like, what is the thing you're like trying to collect?
Right. Well, you play as either Tim or Catherine.
Mm-hmm, you pick that ahead of time.
Yeah, which is convenient because it's like, oh, you're either a boy or a girl. Which, I mean, it's a little gender binary, and we're sorry about that, but. We are two people, and these are our two genders.
Thank you for accepting us.
Thank you for accepting us. And so you play as one of us, and then you try to get the other one to shut up.
Yeah, okay. And then when a multi-ball happens, that's called a talkover. And that's when we're both talking at the same time. Yeah, sure. And the goal is to cover all 100,000 topics to complete the podcast.
Yes, we're going to have 100,000 episodes, everybody.
It's the goal. You heard it here first.
Yeah. When we hit 100,000, 100,000. Oh, boy. It's going to be such a journey. When we hit 100,000, we can die.
Yep. Just, let's see, 999,000. 200 to go? 800 to go?
800.
Start with math. Go from there. Yeah, I think that would all be pretty good. I think we just need better communication of the theming. Because I think what's happening...
Of our episodes?
Absolutely. This theme is pinball. That's the theme for this episode. It may be confusing. No, like, for me to, like, really enjoy pinball, I think just, like, if I got more into the theme and, like, spent some time with a table, I could get into it. Why not? It's kind of fun. Stuff sliding around. It's very... I mean, we didn't really talk about it, but there's so much, like... it seems like such a playground for the sort of person who would be, like, really into an Arduino or, like, wanted to do some, like, light electrical mechanical stuff.
Right.
Because you can do stuff because it's fun. It doesn't have to necessarily serve a purpose. It's just, like, that'd be goofy if that thing flashed when it did this.
Yeah, that's fun. That's fun. Kind of an artistic aspect to it. I like that.
Yeah. So, I mean, are you saying you'd rather build than make one, or?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I'd much rather build one.
Well, why not build one? Sounds fun too.
Okay. So all that's right. What I'll do.
Cool. And I will try to figure out and suss out the arcane theme that you build into it.
Oh, okay. Cool.
Cool. All right. Any final thoughts on pinball?
Final pinball thoughts are verdict.
Multiball. I think it's probably okay, but I don't really know. I'm sorry. What did you really say?
I think it's still pretty arbitrary, and I find that frustrating.
Yeah, I think that's the whole thing. It's just kind of like, it's this weird confluence of, like, just a way to suck up your quarters, a way to kill time in the bar or whatever, and then, like, people just doing, yeah, goofy arbitrary stuff, like the makers doing goofy arbitrary stuff.
Here's my real question, and this is the heart of it, really. Why do I like pachinko so much more than pinball?
Why do you like pachinko at all? Pachinko's stupid.
Pachinko's, it's fun. You just, like, you just kind of watch a ball bounce.
Well, maybe that's what it is. Do you find that, I think pinball is a little emotionally taxing in that, like, ooh, if you're not on your game, it's going to fall.
Yeah. It's arbitrary and then you lose. Pachinko is like, you drop the ball and then it's, you watch it and then you're like, okay, that was fun.
Yeah. I mean, so pachinko's pinball is a game and pachinko is a, I don't know, game of chance or something.
Yeah.
Incidentally, they had to have a whole demonstration once to prove pinball was not a game of chance because it was illegal in New York, and they outlawed pinball. All the outlaws were playing pinball. But then once they had the flippers on, and they were like, no, see, look, people are like, it. If you do this with skill, you can win at it.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting. Still pretty arbitrary.
Well, yeah, but I mean, like, there's some skill, I think, which is, like, the deal.
There's some skill, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe if it didn't eat the quarters. Maybe I do need to get back into Sonic Spinball.
I think that's your project for this week.
Yeah, got to get into all the ones that don't charge me any extra money.
Windows Me Spaceball.
Sounds good. All right, so you're going to go play Windows Me Spaceball. You're going to recreate Windows ME Spaceball.
Yeah.
In hardware, and I'm going to play Sonic Spinball and try to face my fears.
Face your fears. Be brave.
Well, until then, that's Catherine Kogan over there.
And that's over here.
Bye.